Welcome everybody to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Jake Okorowski. We got Owen Reese on the line as well. A lot going on. Spring football starts March 26th. And of course, we're starting our position previews for the spring. We're going to talk tight ends and safeties. And we have a special guest to help us about that. Today, we welcome on from WOZN here in Madison, 96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone. Here in Madison, and also the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network, Zach Heilprin. Saw you a couple hours ago, but I'll ask, how's your evening going, brother?
Going great. Really appreciate you having me on for the first time.
It is the first time, and this is not the first time we started recording this podcast, just behind the curtain. Let's have a little bit of fun here because my technology was not working properly about 5 minutes ago, but we appreciate your patience as always, sir. But you've been busy. I saw you earlier today. And then on top of that, you were in Indianapolis. I mean, overall, what are your thoughts, some quick thoughts about what you saw down in Indianapolis, from a Badgers perspective?
Yeah, it's the first time I've actually been down to the NFL Combine in Indy. I was supposed to go last year, but couldn't make it. So it was interesting. We were talking about before, I found it interesting that you have the entire NFL, this huge, huge corporation, all packed into this one little spot in Indy for 4 or 5 days, 6 days, however long, you're there for. And it's I thought it was really interesting. As for Wisconsin, they had 8 guys there, which is the most they've had there in quite some time. So it was definitely worthwhile to be down there. And you had the 3 offensive linemen, you had the 3 linebackers, and then you had Alec Ingold and Dakota Dixon. And, overall, I don't really know how much good happened there for him. I think Ryan Connolly's 40-yard time was pretty good. I think Andrew Van Ginkle His ability to show off some of his athleticism with his vertical and his broad jump were good. TJ Edwards didn't work out because he had a rolled ankle. The offensive lineman, it was kind of eh. Bo Benchall didn't really do any of the drills on the field. And David Edwards, I don't think you would say had a great combine. I know Owen is more into the draft and certainly offensive lineman than I am. But that was kind of – I thought he kind of struggled. And then Dakota Dixon, did not – probably have the camp or have the combine he wants. Now, I say all this, and they're going to have an opportunity to come back and improve all those things in next week during Pro Day when it comes to Madison. So, it's a huge, huge thing. And, if you mess up, you have another opportunity to do it. That's the benefit of getting invited to the combine. But I don't know. I didn't think anybody stood out, had a huge, great, great combine, or anybody had a really horrible one. It's just, it was kind of eh.
Well, kind of to springboard here, Zach, speaking of standing out, obviously we had a podcast about this over the weekend and clearly dominating the Badgers news cycle. Obviously, we're not in, how did you react or were you surprised at all by the news with Alex Hornibrook?
I wasn't surprised by the news. I was surprised by the timing. I figured it was going to happen, one way or the other, whether it was going to happen right after the season and it didn't, or it was going to happen after spring ball, and maybe he wasn't going to be the starter or he was, however that was going to play out. I did not expect the news to come in the middle of, right before spring ball, right after he had taken part in all, in winter conditioning and all that stuff. I was kind of surprised at the timing, the actual act of him doing it. Not surprising, but just the timing of it. And, being down in Indy at that time when the news broke, we were able to talk to, some of the guys, and the 3 offensive linemen, publicly at least, said that they were surprised that they were caught off guard. David Edwards, Michael Dieter and Bo Benchall, over my ability to stay there for a few more days and talk to a few more people, I think, opened up a little bit more of my eyes to, the idea that, maybe it wasn't as big of a surprise as those guys were letting on, that, there was a feeling around the program that, that this was going to happen, and that it wasn't going to work. anymore. And so that he decided to move on, and it was not as big a surprise as those guys were initially letting on, or maybe even, you know, felt it right away.
Yeah, no, I remember you just reading your tweets last week about that. Even a guy like Alec Ingold, who I think maybe is a little bit closer to, it seems like he maybe was a little bit closer to Hornibrook than others possibly or whatnot. I found that to be really interesting just to see their reactions. I mean, in terms of just how, you know, if they, you know, publicly they said that, you know, that surprise, I don't know. I wasn't surprised really at that prospect based off the season and just the dealing with the head injury or the symptoms, the recurring symptoms. And then just the regression or the bad season he had really. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. And I mean, kind of segueing with that. I mean, I guess, Zach, what are you looking for with the quarterbacks real quick? And we won't go ahead and get into the full quarterback preview right now, but what are your thoughts with this quarterback situation?
Yeah. And I should just add that, you know, those guys have not been around the program since the bowl game. They've been out training. I mean, TJ Edwards and David Edwards and, you know, the two other linemen were all out in California. You know, a lot of these guys haven't been around the program and haven't been around, you know, what's going on. So maybe that initial shock was genuine. I'm not saying that it's not, but certainly as the week went on and we were able to talk to a few other people that were around, you kind of felt like that wasn't the case. In terms of the spring ball, wow. All of a sudden it becomes very even more interesting because it takes Alex Hornibrook and it takes the crutch away. I think he was kind of a crutch for Paul Christ and has been. You could just fall back on a guy who started how many games he did, you know, and so that crutch is gone. And now you have Jack Cohn, who's been in the program for what, I guess now 2 years, two and a half. I mean, he was an early enrollee, so this is going to be his third spring ball. And then it's Graham Mertz, it's Chase Wolf going through spring ball for the first time. It's, you know, it's Danny Vandenboom, if you want to throw him in there. You know, it all of a sudden becomes a lot, in my mind, a lot more interesting because there's no fallback. It's what you see is what you get. And I'm anxious to see what Graham Mertz is able to do. And I think everybody else is too. I mean, that's the exciting person that you want to go and see, the guy who has all the accolades coming in, has all the talk about him. You want to see what he can do. You want to see, have you seen what he can do in high school? You can see when he's doing in all high school all-star games. Let's see what it looks like in Division I football. That's what I'm excited about.
For sure. I saw someone on Twitter kind of make the metaphor of, you know, it's kind of like the kid's just about to start to drive and dad sells the old reliable pickup truck and kind of gives him the keys possibly to the sports car. And he said, well, I hope he doesn't wreck it too bad. It's going to be interesting to see how the Badgers kind of transition here with, like you said, for the first time since Paul Christ entered Wisconsin, really a quarterback that's maybe not seasoned isn't the right word, but Stavi was entering his fifth year and Bart Houston, a fifth year senior as well. And then obviously once Hornibrook took over, became a multi-year starter. So definitely going to be an interesting dynamic in Madison.
Well, if you think about it, you know, Houston had less experience going into his fifth year than Jack Cohn has now, you know? So even that, I mean, I would say that they have more experience returning now than they probably did even that year, but you're right in terms of, you know, not having, there's no one I think he feels extremely, extremely comfortable with right now. And certainly his play calling showed that with Jack Cohn. And we'll see if that changes, you know, if he gets another spring, he gets obviously another spring. And again, I think people are going to riot if Graham Mertz isn't the quarterback, but, you know, he hasn't even thrown a pass yet. So this is as exciting of a spring ball, I think, as you could probably have for Wisconsin.
I think all three of us have seen, too, that I don't think, while the fans might riot, I don't think Paul Christ spends too much time considering what other people think as well.
You think? I'm sure he appreciates everybody's opinion. But doesn't really care about it. You know what I mean? Like he just wants the guys to have fun.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's good stuff, Zach. We're here with WOZN's Zach Heilprin here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. And let's head straight into you know, we talked a little quarterback. We'll get to a quarterback preview in a couple of weeks on a show, just because we talked about it ad nauseum last week with an hour plus long discussion of Alex Hornibrook, his career and what it means for the competition. That's basically almost a spring position preview as it was, but we'll readdress it coming up in a couple of weeks. So I wanted to kind of do something different with these two positions and maybe ones that don't get a lot of pub or popularity compared to quarterback position, but they are very important on Jim Leonard's defense and on Paul Chryst's offense, and that's safeties and tight ends. And we'll start with safeties first, Zach. Position where there's, you saw a lot of players step up with injuries. Dakota Dixon, Scott Nelson didn't obviously stay healthy the entire year. Forced guys like Reggie Pearson, Eric Burrell. You saw Evan Bondoc, who departing now. Others, I think Seth Kearns was in the Nebraska game for a point when Dixon got injured. So all those injuries led to more experience being brought up. And I know Pearson only started one game, but he looked impressive. We'll get to him in a little bit. But overall, I mean, you've covered Dakota Dixon the entire time he's been here at Wisconsin. I've been here the entire time covering his journey as well. You saw him in Indy, but what exactly does his departure mean to the group on the field and off the field? I know leadership is probably the one big thing with that position group and how he led that group, but what else does Wisconsin lose with that type of player?
I think the fact is that they have a lot of experience playing without him already, don't they? His inability to stay on the field last year and even missing time in 2017, they know what it's like to play without him. When he was healthy and out there and playing a big role, I think he was a solid player. I think as good of a person he is, and there's no doubt about that. All the awards that he got for being the person that he is and everything that he fought through, is commendable. I just don't think he was as good a player as I think maybe it's presented as him, as he was, as some people maybe thought he was. Now, when healthy, sure, but he really hasn't truly been that guy for quite some time. So I don't think it's as big of a loss as maybe a lot of people are thinking it will be. Leadership wise, certainly, but we've now seen what it looks like with Eric Burrell, seeing what it looks like with Scott Nelson. We've seen it like a little bit with Reggie Pearson, and we'll see what it looks like with Colin Wilder when you throw him in there as well. And where is Travion Blaylock too? You throw all those guys in, and it just, by the end of last year, I think, Jake, that they were considering putting you in at safety for how many guys they've run through there. So the health of that position, I think, is as big of a key as anything. I think there's talent there. It's just the ability to stay healthy. And Dakota was a big part of that, the inability to stay healthy.
And Zach, speaking about that, and obviously I think his leadership is something that'll probably be missed more, like you said, than his on-field play. The thing that I find really interesting is that with Dakota's departure, by my count, there is going to be, entering fall camp, at least 17 members of the secondary on scholarship, and not one of them is a senior. I think that's probably a pretty unique dynamic. We've seen the team continue to get younger under Paul Chryst, and kind of how that's gone, whether it's been through attrition of rosters or injury or leaving the program or otherwise. I guess looking forward into the safety position, who do you really expect to be? I think Scott Nelson really flashed last year, but I think that other spot, we saw 3 to 4 guys really get other time, during Nelson's absence. I guess, what are you looking forward to in this, I guess, at the safety position? What are your kind of early expectations?
How do we think Scott Nelson played last year? I think that there were flashes of really good play, but I thought that there was also, I think he also missed a few too many tackles. And again, he was another guy that was struggled with injuries. He wasn't totally healthy, for much of the year either. So I don't know exactly what they have in Scott Nelson. I think he's a really good player. I think they saw that when he was redshirting, that they thought he could have helped them in 2017 if they would have had that rule where you could play true freshman, up to 4 games. But I think he's still a work in progress. But yeah, the attrition aspect of it is for sure across the entire secondary. You lose Dante Carrick-Williams last year. You lose Patrick Johnson last year. Johnson would have been a senior this year and probably would have played a big role last year had he stuck around. Now he's he's transferring, right? He's trying to go. He's going somewhere else, right? I know he's not coming back to Wisconsin, but
I don't know if Patrick, I know Arrington Farrar entered the portal.
Yeah, Patrick. Patrick Johnson isn't even. I believe he's not even at Wisconsin anymore. So he is going somewhere else to play football. Arrington Farrar is there, and I believe Keldrick Preston is another one. All these guys that quit. Left the team last year for whatever reason. Are now in the portal and going elsewhere. But the secondary's dealt with a lot of youth last year, and it's still going to be pretty young this year, as you pointed out. But at safety, I don't know who. If you first day of spring ball, I think the starting safeties will be Eric Burrell and Scott Nelson. Now, where does Reggie Pearson fit in that? Where does Colin Wilder fit in that? I know that there was a lot of buzz about him. Again, as I mentioned before, Travion Blaylock, is he back at corner? Is he at safety? I don't, I'm not sure where he was at because he obviously dealt with injuries last year too. So there's a bunch of options there that'll play out over spring, but the key is just staying healthy because the talent's there in my mind.
I think, and I don't mean to cut Jake off here, I think it's another interesting thing, and you mentioned it, right? With Scott Nelson, I think his high spots are very high. Very impressive. You saw him flying around against Western Kentucky and a couple other plays. He had a big hit, and I believe it was the Iowa game that was a very heady, wasn't called for a targeting call, led with his shoulder, knocked the ball out. And then obviously with Reggie Pearson, really only played that Michigan game. And I know Paul Christ kind of mentioned too that he's like, he's a true freshman, and his first start's going to be at Michigan on the road. And this is his first snaps even. And I think he looked pretty good. But then again, like you mentioned, I think for as much talent as at the safety position throughout, and maybe even if you'd call it quote-unquote depth, I think it's probably the most uncertain position on the roster.
Yeah, I would agree. Trying to think of the other spots. I mean, obviously, you have
– quarterback.
Well, yeah, certainly. But I mean, you have guys that have played the position before at some of these other spots. Inside linebacker, you have, Chris Orr there. You have Zach Bond at outside linebacker. You have guys that you can count on to play the position. And, safety is up there. Corner, probably, I think you throw in there as well. I mean, I think we saw really good play from guys at times, but it wasn't consistent. And whether it was Rashad Wildgoose or whether – you want to throw Fayon Hicks in there or Caesar Williams, whatever it is. But the Scott Nelson thing, going back to safety, he also had a big hit, a really good tackle in the bowl game on a I want to say it was not a reverse, but a fly sweep, where it was one-on-one and he made the play. And you're like, that's the guy that they need. That's the guy that, I think a lot of people are hoping he's going to be. And if that's a sign of what's to come, that's great for Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And when you look at some of these players, you already mentioned Nelson, where you mentioned the flashes. Then you also talked about the missed tackles, which is the one thing that stood out to me. But also, looking at the players like a Burrell, a Pearson, a Wilder, and you already mentioned Pearson talking about that, the tackle in the bowl game. But what are you looking for from... I would say maybe these guys are the top contenders, where Burrell, Nelson, Pearson, a Colin Wilder. What would you state as the, I would say, what, like maybe one or two things you're looking for from those players heading in the spring that'll springboard them in the fall camp?
Yeah, it's the playmaking ability. I think, even going into, I remember talking to Jim Leonard, and this was when Patrick Johnson was still on the roster or still on the team before he had the concussion issues. And it was he said he had three guys he could count on: Johnson, Nelson, and Dixon. And it was asked why, and it was they make plays. And so that's what I think he's looking for. And we kind of saw a little bit of a flash of that in the bowl game. Now Miami was throwing the ball to every guy in red, so I mean I don't know how much we can say that that's what it's going to look like all the time. We've done that with another player. I think his name is Alex Hornibrook, facing Miami team, and we thought he was going to be the greatest thing ever. That did not work out. But a guy like Eric Burrell, who had that interception in the bowl game, that's making a play, and the secondary was all over the place in that bowl game. I thought it was fantastic. Again, now how much of that is Miami's quarterback all their quarterbacks were horrible? I don't know, but you have to put yourself in position to make plays, and they did that. So that'd be the main thing. That's the biggest thing, because you're not going to get a seal out tackling in spring ball. You barely see it in fall camp. So I don't know how much we'll be able to sit there and say, Scott Nelson is a good tackler now. I don't know that, but playmaking ability, whether it's in a game or in practice, that shows up.
For sure. I think, and kind of to springboard off you heard for just a second, I think the two things are health and tackling. In this defense, the way that Leonard has it kind of schematically structured and what you're probably likely going to get or not going to get, for lack of a better term, out of the pass rush of the outside linebackers, unless something drastically changes, I think you're right. That secondary has got to be the playmaking group. However, to make plays, you got to be on the field. I think that's just something that I don't know if last year was a flash in the pan or if it's just maybe something to consider, I guess, but it's
injuries are
talent isn't the problem that matters.
Right. But like injuries are going to happen, and they affect different groups at different times. You think about inside linebacker that they got the reputation of, just being able to plug and play guys. And they got that incredible depth in their inside linebacker group, starting back in 2015, because they had all the injuries. You know what I mean? Like you had Jack Sitchie go, or you had Chris Orr go down, or Jack Sitchie go down, or, whoever it was. And other guys were stepping up and stepping into roles, and you got that great depth. You know what I mean? So that is, injuries are going to happen and you have to build on that. But I think it's going to be a good thing that they had all those injuries last year at safety, because now you have a bunch of guys that do have play, they have experience, and now they're going to go through another spring ball having known what is going to happen on a game day. They know what it's going to look like, and I think that's going to help.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about tight ends, a new look room, no Kyle Penniston, no Xander Neville, both for different reasons, but you have the returning Jake Ferguson. Coming back, we'll talk about his evolution going forward in 2019 and more here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
We are back here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Zach Heilprin from WOZN, the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network, joins us once again. And now we turn our attention to tight ends. And obviously, the emergence of Jake Ferguson last season helped in the receiving game. And I believe Ferguson was second on the team in receptions. And made an impact there. Redshirt freshman, now going to be a rising redshirt sophomore. But there will be changes at tight end. And you have Kyle Penniston, who, Zach, you reported it first when it hit the, with confirming with the UW official back in January that he was going to be, that he left the program and confirmed that he entered the transfer portal. And then Xander Neville, the more the inline tight end, obviously exhausted his eligibility, was injured for most of last season. and it's going to be kind of a new look, even though you do have some pieces in there. You have Ferguson, obviously, as the pass catching threat, and we saw more of Luke Benchwell, especially in that bowl game against Miami. But starting off with Penniston's departure, what does that mean from the position group? Is it just one more player with experience like he had, just not going to be around? I mean, he didn't really affect the passing game too much, and that may have been because of the different duties.
What do you have, three catches?
Right.
What do you have, three catches last year?
I know what you mean. I think it's one thing where I'm wondering if with Neville's injury, if that forced him, even though they used those jumbo packages last year, I'm wondering if just some of the responsibilities or blocking schemes or plays called took him out of being more of a pass catcher because of the Neville injury. You know what I mean? Where he maybe is more accomplished blocker than Ferguson.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, but I obviously not as much of an effect in the passing game going forward.
Yeah, I think they wanted to get the ball to Jake Ferguson. You know what I mean? Like, that's I would if I'm going to choose between those two guys, I know which one I want to throw to every day, and it's not Kyle Penniston. Is you know, as a receiver, each year, like his numbers went down, and that's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to go the other way. I don't know. You know, your point about him having to take on a different role potentially with Neville's injury. You know, I certainly hear that, and you know, and Luke Benchwell was hurt as well at certain points, so they were down a couple of guys at one point. So that's a possibility, but I also think it has the fact that Jake Ferguson is a freak, and we all saw that. I think we all saw that in spring ball last year, and we certainly saw it in a little bit of fall camp that we had. And you know, I remember doing our you know, our preview podcast with all of the, you know, all the guys were watching practice every day, and we all thought that the breakout guy was going to be Jake Ferguson. You know what I mean? So he's an all Big Ten tight end type, and you want to get the ball in his hands. So and I think Kyle Penniston saw that, and he knew that the ball wasn't going to be coming to him, and he wanted to go and find a place where maybe the ball will start to come to him, and hopefully he does. But I think it's a loss of experience, but I'm not sure how big of an impact it'll have on the overall offense of it, because I don't really view him as a great blocker. I never thought he was.
Zach, how do you think? I think looking at tight end, right, you've obviously got Ferguson and Benchall, who's more of an inline guy as well. Tight end, another position where there's a bit of uncertainty. I think the Badgers quite often like to use three tight ends. And outside of those two, you have a walk-on in Gabe Lloyd, and then a redshirt freshman in Cormac Sampson. Do you think that this is a position where you'll really get a chance to see one of those two freshmen coming in the fall get a chance to get on the field early?
Yeah, I mean, I would have. You're talking about Clay Cundiff and Hayden Ritchie, and I would have said, you know, if one of those guys had come in and string ball, it would have been even that much better. And it's possible we could see changes in, you know, position changes. Obviously, we don't know that. We'll figure out a lot of this stuff in a couple of weeks when spring ball opens, and we'll see guys change positions. I know Jalen Franklin came in as pretty highly touted tight end. They have him at outside linebacker. That very well may be, and I shouldn't even say highly touted tight end. He came in as a guy that could have played tight end or defense, and they put him on defense. And I wonder if he's still there. I'm just spitballing here, but yeah, those two guys, specifically Rucci, I think would have a shot. Cormac Sampson is another big body who could be an inline guy. Look, we know exactly what they think about their blocking ability last year when Xander Neville went out. What'd they do? They went to their heavy packages,
more
right?
So
we know exactly.
On the field.
We know
more
exactly what they think.
The field.
Right, and so they know exactly. We know exactly what they think about the other guys as blockers. So what will change? I don't know. It's very possible to see more jumbo packages. Now they had an abundance of offensive linemen last year, and they lose four of those guys, four starters, if you want to count John Dietzen as a starter. Which he could, because he started 12 games, even though it may not have been the best one. That's neither here nor there. But, you know, without having that many guys available, maybe you don't do it. But I think we all know it was pretty clear that they did not have confidence in the other tight ends on the roster to be big time inline blockers.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I mean, how big of the spring is it for Luke Benchwell, in my opinion? I mean, I know the 20-yard touchdown pass against Miami was negated because of the injury, or not injury, the penalty during later in the game, or no, it was the second quarter, I think it was. But, you know, how big is it for him just for the snaps, but also just, you know, staying healthy, I think is going to be big for him, because the past two seasons, you've seen him on the list where I think he was a redshirt freshman. He was out for a long time. And then last year, you know, he played 10 games, started four of them, but he's still out here and there, you know, for three of them. So I think for him, I think it's a big year for him, especially if they're going to lock down that inline position. If you're not going to have a guy like maybe Cormac Sampson, who's according to the height and weight, and depending on how that fluctuates, he seems like a big guy that could be that inline guy, that next successor. But I think you hit it on the head too with Rucci, where if he would have, if he was able to come in early, I think, and obviously there's a huge jump between high school and college, and that's what spring ball helps you out with. But if he would have came in early, I thought maybe he'd have a fighting shot too, based off of where they're projecting him to play on the inline Y look as well. But I mean, how big is this spring in your opinion for Benchwall?
It's big. I mean, I think he's got a ton of experience now too. I mean, he's played a lot of football, even though he had dealt with injuries. He's going to be a guy that I think he is going to end up being that inline, more than inline blocker. And, they have three spots, and again, the tight end and the fullback are, I wouldn't say interchangeable, but they could potentially use more fullbacks. I mean, obviously they're going to be working in some new fullbacks along with obviously Mason, Stocky. I always get looked at badly when I mispronounce his name. It's Mason Stocky, I believe. And John Chenal, maybe those guys can play a different spot, or I should say be used differently as well. You could probably much interchange them for the most part. But yeah, no, big spring for Luke Benchwall, there's no doubt. Again, I feel like I'm repeating myself in the idea that if they stay healthy, they'll be fine. But that it totally is. I mean, injuries were as big of an impact in the secondary and at tight end last year as anything. The talent was there. Xander Neville was primed for a big year, and he couldn't stay healthy. Benchwall, was off to a good start early in the year, couldn't stay healthy. So, having Jake Ferguson be as a big time player as he was last year, kind of covered some of those other inefficiencies. But stay healthy and you'll be good, right? I mean, it's just so simple. And I know I'm saying it over and over again.
Zach, what do you think the next step is for Jake Ferguson? Obviously, he kind of blew onto the stage. Is it him becoming a better blocker, or do you think it's simply finding more ways or getting him the ball more as a general theme?
Well, get him the ball more. That's always a positive thing, right? I mean, I don't know how much what more he could do. They broke out the tight end screen, I think, in the bowl game, I believe.
Big time.
And I'd like to see more of that, because I feel like that hasn't been used in quite some time. But again, it's becoming a more well-rounded player. I think, remember going back to Troy Fumagalli, when he obviously had Jake Pederson, so he had him in front of him. And then the next year it was going to be in 2015, it was going to be, Traylor and another guy in Fumagalli. It's going to be those three. And then all of a sudden, Traylor got hurt. The other guy got hurt. And it's all – and Fumagalli's like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And it forced him to become a better player. It forced him to become an all-around player. He had to block. He had to catch the pass. He had to do all the stuff, everything that you asked of from a tight end. He was able to play all three spots by the end of that year, because he got drilled by injuries that entire season, especially at that spot. So he was forced into doing other stuff. That's what Jay Ferguson is. If you look at the position right now, with the unknowns there, he needs to be that guy. He needs to be as well-rounded as possible. And I think that maybe is what his offseason looks like. Be as good of a pass catcher, be as good as a route runner as you are a blocker, and the other way around. Be as well-rounded as a tight end as you can possibly be, and that makes you more effective. It makes Wisconsin's offense more effective, because they don't know what's coming when you're in the game.
Zach, thank you very much for stepping on the show with us, giving some of your time. Really appreciate it. Obviously, one of our favorite guys to follow on the beat. And like I said, thanks for stopping by and giving us some Badger takes in these cold months.
On that note, folks, we're wrapping up here on Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Make sure you guys listen here on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and other platforms to find our podcast. And Owen, what type of reviews?
5-star reviews only.
That's right. We got to feed our kids. On that note, for Owen Reese, for Zach Heilprin, this is Jake Okorowski signing off for another edition of the Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Tune in later this week. We'll have our mailbag segment, but also we'll talk with Austin Traylor from the Salt Lake Stallions of the Alliance of American Football. So that'll be fun talking with Austin coming up later this week. And stay tuned for another episode of Bucky's Fifth Podcast.